last time on D&D.
Sheriff! Sheriff! These guys killed Evananzer!
You're trespassing on private property. These are the lands of Arulian. This is her scrapyard.
And you three, do you have any words? Fred elbows his way in. I'll tell you everything, Girthin.
Fred? I'll not tell you again.
Cover me, guys, here. You don't want me doing this.
And I also just look right to Graf, because he is always the sweet talker.
Can we please leave the scrapyard immediately?
Absolutely, Sheriff. Pleasure to make your acquaintance. Thank you so much, Girthin. Take care. Make sure you get multiple sources. Don't believe Fred. And I'm out.
Orange Eyes presents a Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition campaign. DM'd by Alex LeFerrier. Starring
Andrew Gallagher playing Erd.
Ian Selig playing Garum.
And John Selig playing Graf.
Eberron Chronicles, Oracle of War, Season 1.
You guys are taking a much-needed breather as you spend time around Salvation.
So as we go around, we decide that it would be in everyone's best interest if we pool our gold together. We go in, we buy a healing potion to have on hand. We stock up on 2 weeks' supplies for all of us. We restock our quiver of arrows. And after all is said and done, we have a collective 15 gold left.
You notice that the various places you go to for supplies, Uther's Bakery, Thorn's Provisions, and all the other places just seem to turn an eye towards you. Maybe it's your own paranoia, wondering if they know what's been happening in the recent doings. At first, you felt like a fly on the wall, or a bump on the log, or just a nobody passing through, probably a hopeless soul that would die in the Mornland. But now people actually give you a nod, maybe shy away a little bit, clear a path for you.
Does it seem to be like they respect us or they fear us?
They acknowledge you.
That's a start.
We'll take it. And I would say since Erd has bailed his two compatriots out of these tough situations, that he should be the one to be carrying that healing potion.
That sounds fair to me.
Erd takes his jacket and opens it up to the inner pocket and slips the healing potion in and closes it up and gives a nod to his buddies.
Graf gives you a nod, but you can tell he's like, I really don't want to have 2 HP again.
We'll see what we can do to prevent that, huh?
Yeah.
After all of our stocking up on supplies, we end up at the Grey Beyond.
There are new faces in the Grey Beyond. Seems salvage crews come and go through this place.
Is Brackle there?
Brackle is not here.
Is Fred there?
Fred is not here.
I jauntily bound up to the bar and say, Reason, good to see ya.
Reason gives you a nod, recognizing some familiar faces. Ah, here we are, some of my most frequent customers. Shall I get your order of Carnathy gin?
Hey, you read my mind, old friend. Bring her on out.
Make it a double.
And Reason goes and grabs you the drinks and prepares it. And as he does, he's pouring glasses and he leans in, hoping you guys will join him in a little bit of privacy over the drinks he's pouring.
What's the news, Reason?
Got a little bit of information on the gentry you wanted there, Graf.
I knew you'd come through. What's the deal?
And he slides you a drink.
I immediately drain it and just say one more.
And as he starts pouring, seems these three are from all across Corvair. Very, very interesting bunch. The young little halfling, Vazani. She's from Sharn. Big city girl like her in a small backwater place like this. Can't believe to see her bring that city attitude.
Erd hearing Sharn just kind of perks up a little bit from his past travels in the cogs.
A young little half-elf, if you could call 125 years old young. Bryn. She's from the arcane institutions in Awandare. She's quick with a wit and even faster with a spell. Her magic has been very impressive here in the Grey Beyond. She thought she could charm some of our patrons that were unruly. Quite fascinating. But this last human, Graces, would you believe he used to run a ship in the Lazar Principalities?
No, I wouldn't believe it.
This guy's a looker. And his smile is just one of the charmingest things. But don't let him disarm you with it, because before you know it, he may have a nice quick scimitar across your throat. Only got some names and places, but otherwise, they've come through here at times, and they're loud, and they're proud.
Who brought them here, and why?
Various forces bring people to salvation. I haven't got that word out of them, nor they're willing to say, but they're willing to work for the highest bidder.
But why would you come here if you're a big city gal from Sharn and a handsome, whatever, I'm not impressed, from wherever? Why would you come to this, the edge of the world, in what used to be almost Sire? Like, it just seems odd to me. They stick out like sore thumbs because they certainly don't look like they're from a place like this.
If they're their sore thumbs, what does that make the rest of us?
We're the index, the middle, and the pinky.
He grabs his scarred arm. There's much to be had in Sire. People from around Corvair think this is the entry point for looting, for scavenging. You get one big score, you could be set for life. I can't tell you much more.
They look to me like they're already set for life, right? Why are they here? Everyone else here looks like they're trying to get by, but they look like they're already set.
The thrill of adventure?
Maybe they're setting somebody else up.
Another thing that doesn't add up. But Reason, I like you, and I appreciate the update.
And I appreciate the gin.
Enjoy, folks. How'd that last mission come through?
Well, we did the job.
How's Evan Anzer doing? I haven't seen him in forever.
I think you'll want to wait and ask him yourself.
Starts wiping down the bar, you know, attending to some of the needs of the Grey Beyond.
So after he leaves, I turn to Graf and I say, so that was helpful, but do you think that we should maybe ask him about some of these other leads? Ask him about the Emerald Claw? Ask about Aurelian?
Graf shakes his head and says, no, I want to ask him about the Grey Dogs.
Hmm.
Reason. He drains his drink and calls Reason over.
Careful, we don't have much of this Carnathy gin.
Make sure you save it for me. And he pushes his cup forward as if to ask for another.
It's strong. I don't know. Can you handle it, Graf? And he pours you another one.
My blood is literally running with fire and lightning. I'm fine. Reason, this is actually something I need you to keep between the two of us. Can you do that?
You know I'm good for it.
What can you tell me about the Grey Dogs?
Grey Dogs? Wow. Jeez. They're the best salvage crew here in Salvation. You know that. Everyone loves the Grey Dogs.
So I've heard. What can you tell me about the Grey Dogs?
We haven't seen them around these parts in weeks now. Some say they finally met their end. Maybe the dogs are now running in the pasture in the sky. But that would break my heart.
Yes, dogs in their pastures.
Why are they so beloved? What makes them so cool and special, huh?
Who are they? What's their leader like? When did they come here? Give me some juice.
A lot of them are from different corners of Corvair, but their leader, Kali Alrun, really has a deep knowledge of Sire. It's sought after by every one of the patrons here in Salvation. The deeper you can get into Sire, the better stuff you can get. And let me tell you, there's been a hot demand for the deeds of the Grey Dogs.
A demand for the hot goods? Sorry.
They came back with some of the most biggest stuff you see here in Salvation and have made some top coin doing so.
Tell me more about this Kali Alrun. When did she come to Salvation?
She's been here ever since Salvation cropped up.
Really? She's been here from the beginning? Since the Day of Mourning?
I wouldn't call her a founding member, but she's had a fervor of reestablishing a connection with Sire.
What kind of person is this Kali?
It's a question why she's not a patron herself.
What do you mean? What's the difference between a patron and a... She's the one with money asking for the jobs versus the one doing the jobs? Is that what you mean?
Basically, yeah.
That's interesting, too. Have you met her? Is she a good person, or is she just following the gold piece?
You could ask anyone here in the Grey Beyond. Callie's smile can warm a cold day and lighten the heaviest heart.
He looks at Garum. Looks back at Reason. Okay. Where can I find Kali? You think she's still out in the gray?
Like I said, I haven't seen her in forever.
Shame. I've heard good things.
Probably a while now. Weeks. Maybe months.
My, oh my.
She did look a bit heavy-hearted last I did see her. The rest of her crew, too. Got some heavy news. I don't know. I tend not to pry into the business of all the salvage crews.
Heavy news? You don't know what kind? Just that something bad happened?
Let's just say it was a sour day to see Callie's mood change.
And the gray dogs themselves, the people she surrounded herself with, what were they like? What did they do? Was it a wizard? Was it a sword fighter? Tell me.
Oh, they're a scrappy bunch. Let me tell you, they got a cold shoulder, especially that dwarf. He's just so focused on his business. The warforged they utilized, though, Sprocket, he's a real interesting one. He did a lot of work in Awandare and was worked in some of the councils for the wizards there, but so once he got his freedom, he didn't think he didn't know what else he could do with his time, so he thought he'd best apply it, delving into the riches of the Mornland.
Sprocket, the warforged wizard. Tell me more about this dwarf. What did he look like?
He never really showed his face around here, probably for the better. That damn eye patch wasn't too appealing.
Reason. We've had a rough couple of days. What can you tell us about Arulian?
What about her? And all of a sudden his look gets dour and sour.
We think she's done a bad thing. You know Evananza, right?
He nods.
I'm sorry you have to hear it from me, but we found him dead.
What? You see him wring the bar rag he's wiping the place down with?
We took that job on the board. We met Evananzer. He told us to go into the gray.
No. Don't tell me no. And he starts pointing at you guys.
Nope.
You guys didn't...
No. Of course not.
Not here. Don't do it like this, guys.
No.
And he starts getting really loud, kind of drawing attention.
We've been told it was Arulian. Arulian had him done.
What? You guys can't be... You guys be careful. And he starts backing up, getting a little bit of distance. Are you saying what I think you're saying?
He's dead.
Are you saying what I think you're
saying? We didn't do it. We are trying to find out who did. We think it was Arulian.
He turns his back immediately. No. No. And he starts looking to other patrons in the bar, trying to grab their attention, trying to, like, see if they heard what you said. And he's really upset. It's very sudden, very shocking to see this immediate change in Reason.
I'll do what I can to help you, Reason. Truly. We were dismayed to find him that way, too.
You guys have had enough. He takes the Carnathy gin away from you.
Reason, I felt I had to tell you. We're trying to figure out who did it and why, and you are our source of information, and we're trying to understand so we can help.
I don't know anything. I don't know anything about any of that. I don't even know who you're talking about.
All right, Reason. Have a good night. Graf walks out of the bar.
I follow.
Innard finishes the rest of his drink, listening to the conversation. Takes another look at Reason and follows suit with his compatriots out of the bar.
You leave the gray beyond.
Graf is bummed. You know, Reason was... I wouldn't say a friend, but he was one of the only people so far that Graf's actually kind of taken a liking to.
That's the only time I've seen him as tight-lipped as that. I think you hit some sort of nerve with him, Graf.
So Graf, you know, he walks in, he's just like, and this is why I'm not honest with people.
It doesn't seem to pay off too much around here, huh? And we'd even get paid for that last job.
We've had a hard couple of days. Maybe we should head back to the inn.
I agree, Garam.
Sure. Let's make sure we double lock the doors tonight.
And we head off to the Salvation Hotel.
Which is where Rulian would hang out, right? We would see her.
Run by Orion, the silent gnome behind the counter. As he sees you come in, he puts his hand up and shakes his hand. Stop and no. As if you're not welcome here.
My friend. What's the matter? Our gold's not good here anymore? What's changed?
He crosses his two fingers into an X, as if warding you away.
I get that a lot, but it doesn't seem to work on me, so I'd just love to understand why it is you're turning away our patronage when we've had such a good relationship until now.
He points back to where the cubby holes are holding keys, and there are no keys.
So it's full.
And he shooes you away with his hands.
Are there any gnomes here who are easy to talk to? And Graf sighs after that racist comment and walks away.
Make a perception roll.
Natural 19, so 22.
Just as you take a bow to leave, you see him palm a couple keys on the backside of the table.
I turn again. And at this point, he's already turning us away, right? So I use thaumaturgy again, and I say, give me a reason why you won't give us our room.
And it echoes throughout the Salvation Hotel lobby, and you know, the rattles the boards and shakes the chandeliers, and the gnome just cowers, and he puts up his hands and shakes his hands. No.
Who else is around?
You see him start like pulling a rope in the back like coat room, as if it's like ringing some sort of bell off in the distance.
Let's not push our luck here, Graf.
Graf thinks about it and then just shakes his head. It's not worth it.
We can find another place to stay.
Let me leave.
What about that blacksmith? Or maybe, I don't know.
Should we?
Garundo could hook us up, or that baker?
There's an even worse tavern. The Tin Pot Tavern. The next block over. You can imagine this place. The best thing you're going to get is a sack on a dirt floor. You have yet to explore it.
I think you're right. I think we're better off talking to one of our friends. If they're even still our friends anymore, we can try Becca and or Garinda and or Bellalure.
There seem to be some bridges burning behind us now.
I think at this point, our best bet is going to be the goblins.
You'd have to hurry. The salvage market is closing soon.
Come on. Let's make a beeline.
Let's listen to Garam, huh? Let's do it.
And Graf raises his hand, and you see just like the energy and the crackling and the lightning, and he puts it away.
There, Graf. Doesn't always go your way.
But one of these days, it will.
Come on, we should be used to this by now.
Yeah, you're right, Garam.
I'm used to being turned away by high society, or even medium society. But these were supposed to be the people we rule. And here we are. And this time, we didn't even do anything wrong.
Seems like you pay more for doing the right thing around here, huh?
Important lesson, nerd. Good point.
And almost at the perfect mention of that, you make your way to the salvage market. And as you burst open the metal flapping doors...
Motherfucker.
Yes! Yes! We want them all, little goblin. There the gentry stands next to Garinda. All of them. I don't care what they're for. I need that made. We're here to purchase your finest wares. We have a job ahead of us, and we don't care what it'll cost. Gold is no object when it comes to the gentry. Seems like the gentry is negotiating furiously with Garinda. She's kind of holding her ground. I can't. I know I'm working on this. Yes. I understand. I need this Iron Defender complete ASAP. We'll pay top coin for it.
I think they said it's not for sale, friend.
Garinda looks up. Yes. You see, they've already bought it.
We've bought it. Looking over to the gentry.
And the gentry all turn over towards you and scoff. You three have bought all these parts. You think you could put it together? Clearly this goblin here doesn't have enough effort to do it herself.
It's already spoken for.
And Gracis, with his blonde hair, shoves Garinda in the shoulder.
Graf immediately just reaches a hand out and tries to interrupt him from shoving Garinda. Not today. And I grab him right on like where the neck meets the chest. I don't do it, but I'm ready to initialize the Eldritch Blast, but I don't.
So there's a little bit of a crackling energy at the ready, yeah?
Yeah, like the energy's crackling, but I'm not hurting him yet, right? I want it to be intimidating, but not actually start a fight yet.
And he stands stiff as a board and looks down at your hand and then looks up at you. Don't get pretty with me, boy. Look at you. Did you crawl out of the gray? We've seen plenty of your kind in there. You guys keep popping up, all three of you. You guys find yourself so slick.
As he laughs, Graf pulls his neck down and kisses him on the cheek.
His arm just reacts And he shoves you away. What do you think you're doing?
What's the matter? I thought beauty respects beauty.
Don't be cute.
I am cute. Thank you for saying so. Anyway, I believe you were just leaving. Our friend here has nothing to sell you.
And Vizani, little halfling, speaks up. Ah, oh, come on, Gracious. Come on, let's get out of here. You know, we got a job to do. We got to get in the gray as soon as possible. Aurelian's not going to want us behind schedule.
Why don't you get in the gray and stay over there?
And Bryn, looking over her big giant tome. Yes, yes, we don't have much time. Yes, indeed. It's a long trip before we get to Kalizart.
Fark.
And with that, the gentry packs up their things, and Gracious, without missing a beat, doesn't break eye contact with the three of you, and they leave the salvage market.
Before he goes, Graf just blows him a kiss.
And Garunda, oh my god, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do?
Garunda, what's the problem? They're gone. Why are you still upset?
Yeah, you don't understand. You don't understand. They've got to... You heard them. You heard them. And Garunda lowers her head. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I kneel down next to her and I put my hand on her shoulder and I say, it's okay. You can tell us what's happening.
I'm not sorry to you. Sorry to her. She points over and Bella Lure comes out from a giant scrap pile.
Garunda. Garunda, what have I told you?
Come on, Bella Lure. We can trust these three. We can trust them.
Your love of a trinket and your loose lips telling everyone everything.
And she looks around the salvage market, which is thinned in numbers as people close their shops for a day. How serious are you working for us? Are you willing to go into Kalizart and find Cali Alrun?
Absolutely we are.
You're the only person we seem to be able to trust around here. Everyone else has double-crossed us or looked away from us.
And we knew Cali from before the morning. We've been looking for her.
I heard everything. I heard you tell Garunda everything. I was here, and I told her not to speak. But you had to shine your flashy trinket, and you know my daughter's lust for shiny objects. You guys are smart, I'll give it you. Trying to outwit a goblin? Well, there's nothing I can do but bring you closer. Do you know why? Because Aurelian is missing the final piece of information. The Fireweave Bazaar in Kalizart. There, a shipment was made 4 years ago before the Day of Mourning. Very special shipment. One that has been traveling all around Corvair. And I came across the old paperwork. I came across the shipping documents. The handoff from Sharn all the way to the Lazar Principalities into the Morar Holds. And there, inside the Fireweave Bazaar, is where Crate 300 lies.
Crate 300.
Yes. We'll get it after all this time. But I'm worried. The Grey Dogs have met a bit of trouble. And now I need you to go and find Cali Alrun and the rest of the Grey Dogs in the Fireweave Bazaar.
You think we can bail the Grey Dogs out? We're up to it. He looks back to Graf and Garam.
Can you do that? Can you do that for us goblins?
Absolutely we can. Why are the gentry going?
Aurelian's hired them to go into Kalizart. They're getting word of this shipment as well, but I have the final piece. I know its precise location, and I sent the Grey Dogs out weeks in advance. But I'm afraid it's been well over 3 weeks. Any time longer in the Mornland for more than 3 weeks, and things start looking grayer and grayer and grayer. She coughs, her old age catching up with her. And young Garunda, yes, yes. See, that's why Mother Dearest gets a little scared when I don't come back. Thankfully, you guys have done your best to help us out, but, you know, we can't go in there too long. Bella Lure slaps her. Enough, child. You speak too much. Allow these three brave souls. And she traces her claw over your armor and your sword and your axe. And they're familiar with Sire. Maybe they're familiar with the Grey Dog Way. And if we already told them this much, well, by the host, may they be good to us in the end. This would be a serious catch if we managed to land this whale of a find.
Bella Lure, what's in the box?
We'll all find out together.
You must know, please.
Let's just say the fate of the last war sits in the contents of this box.
The last war ended when...
That's what they want us to think.
Sire.
But the treaty, it's over.
I can show you a tense barricade and a battalion sharpening their swords not more than 10 days' ride from here.
Fair enough.
The last war isn't over. It's just on a hiatus.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
I don't know if the three of you can do it alone. That's why I think we need a little bit of help.
We'll take whatever we can get.
We need to work quick. As you see, the gentry here is trying to buy the last pieces of our Iron Defender here. If we work all night, we can build this thing and get you out of Dodge before they come back in here shining their bright coins and...
brighter hair.
Priceless gems. And if we work together, we can build this thing. Are you with us?
I'm with you.
Absolutely.
We're with you.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to enter this skill challenge in which we're going to have to get 5 successes before 3 failures. Now, you're going to use your skills to try to get some of these successes. You can only use a primary skill once. If you declare a skill as a secondary skill, if it's a success, you'll grant advantage to the next person.
What's a secondary skill?
One that's not meant for this skill challenge.
I feel like a nature check is a little weird.
Like, I'm allowing you to declare that as a primary skill for yourself.
Okay. And what's the difference between primary and secondary again?
Because you can't use a secondary skill to gain a success. You can only help someone else out. So maybe you do use one of your weaker skills to try to give someone advantage, and then that checks that off as a secondary skill. And if you fail it, there's no fail for the party. You just don't help your companion.
Cool. And so we would have to declare a secondary skill to give advantage before they actually roll their primary skill. Okay.
Correct. We're trying to build this Iron Defender in any way possible. If you can use a justified reason for a skill in how we're putting this Iron Defender together and successfully roll against a difficulty class, you'll gain the party a success. The better the result, the better the Iron Defender will be. The choice is in your hands.
You will be the judge.
As we begin, I'm going to roll a intelligence nature check to make sure that all the pieces and all the body parts are laid out in the correct order. 15.
Garam, your knowledge of nature is successful, as you can definitely see the anatomy and the different pieces of the tubing and pipes and pieces of Iron Defender are laid in a correct position.
Knowledge of nature and dogs.
Exactly. So now you can't use that knowledge nature anymore.
I'm going to use a primary sleight of hand to try and, like, just do some of that fiddly work to get the gears just right, line them up, make sure everything works correctly.
As Garam sees Graf get ready to put all the little final touches on, I roll a charisma performance in order to give him that extra motivational boost he needs, give him the confidence he has. Crit, nat 20.
Nat 20.
10.
So you can see, as you coach Graf in assembling the gear work of the Iron Defender, he's about to place the teeth in the wrong spot, and you manage to direct his attention, and before you know it, the gears start slipping into place rapidly as they all align in this sort of vertebrae-like structure.
Awesome. So Erd, seeing the body of Errol and this giant gash of twisted metal that's kind of bowed out from the alleged axe hit that he did to destroy Errol, he uses some athletic check to grab the twisted sheets of metal and puts them in his hand and starts to bend them back and puts them back into shape like he remembers.
And I'm going to use a deception check to make you think you're not doing enough so that you'll work even harder. 18.
So with some good coaching and some good
ribbing,
he manages to squeeze some extra energy out of Erd, giving him advantage on his athletic roll.
Nice. Which was good because the first roll was a 1. 15.
And yeah, just as you think you're about to slip, you channel in a second wave of energy, bending the structure of the Iron Defender into place. And you can see the goblins, their faces are lighting up as they keep bringing in more pieces and wires and tubing and
purple liquid starts flowing in the translucent pipes as they start filling the Iron Defender with a strange source of energy.
Something looks a little bit off to me, and I'm going to make an investigation check to make sure everything's in its right place.
Erd will use his, he's a city boy, but he'll use what he can of nature to think of the form of the dog and the anatomy that he knows of chopping this thing up and to help Garam out with a 4.
So Erd, I appreciate your efforts, but no, a dog's knee goes this way, not that way.
The leg bone connects to the...
My senses are heightened because of our early adopters, so I'm going to roll with advantage. A 14?
So you're investigating, you know, the different components, and the layout doesn't seem quite right to you, and as you put two pieces together, they spark, and all of a sudden the pieces fizzle and just deteriorate. You score a failure.
Okay.
It's okay, Garam. We've all been there. Yeah. I'm going to attempt to use performance to act like I know what I'm doing. Like, oh, I'm a mechanic. I've done this before. I've seen a lot of these machinations and automatons and such. So I'm just going to go ahead and put this here because it obviously goes there. Anyone want to help me actually know what I'm doing, though?
I will use my persuasion to kind of boost your ego and be like, yeah, you've done this 1,000 times. Obviously, you can do it.
Yeah, the thimble rod connects to the bucket lace. Of course.
Yeah.
But put that one there. It's all lies.
A 12.
Is that enough to give me advantage, Al?
Yes.
Okay. 24.
Graf starts grabbing different tools and pieces, and wouldn't you know it, the piece fits in the tool, and he twists it and ratchets it on. You manage to score a success.
The machine's jaws start kind of just like naturally moving of their own accord.
The springs of the bear claw trap gain a lot of tension as Graf tightens it and winds it up. Paws start emitting. A tail starts forming.
Erd, seeing this mechanical mutt start coming to life, he just starts channeling his animal handling skills, seeing this thing writhing around.
And Graf just kind of like shakes his head and is like, this doesn't translate to an automaton, so I'm going to use stealth to kind of go up alongside Erd without him noticing and guide it to the right place. 12.
You're not going to get an advantage for that.
But you can still do it, Andy. I believe in you, Erd.
Hey, Graf, what are you doing? Get out of here. You know I know what's going on. I'm a pro.
Of course you do. I'm sorry.
As Erd channels what he can remember about the dogs that he's seen around the cogs and different levels of Sharn, and he gets a 15.
Not quite channeling the right thoughts, as animal handling doesn't seem to have a real big place in assembling an Iron Defender. Score another failure. All right, last one.
It's starting to look like an actual dog. Everything's kind of falling into place. We're getting towards the end there. And I realize that what's missing isn't the machine parts. So I make a knowledge arcana check to make sure that all of the juices are able to flow properly.
And Graf has the same idea and also makes a knowledge arcana check to help you.
And Erd has the same idea and also makes a knowledge arcana check to help you.
And if I know Erd, his knowledge arcana is sky high.
Whole zero.
I rolled a 14 with knowledge arcana.
I rolled a 3.
Your knowledge of arcana magic will help Garam do what he's about to do.
Nice.
Okay, so I will roll my knowledge arcana check with advantage. So a 7 and a 19. And I'm going to use my hero point just to make sure. And that's going to be a 25.
Arrow's going to spit fire now.
So Garam starts connecting the tubes filled with purple liquid and tying together copper wire around the claws. And just as all the pieces seem to come together, arcane energy surges wildly as the pieces seem to erupt and then reconvene in just a perfect amalgamation of an Iron Defender's makeup. And at that moment, Bellalure comes up with a piece of cloth and she unravels the twisted Trinket of Truth, and the rib cage is glowing brightly as she slowly slides the Trinket of Truth in. Work together now. Work together. Now, everyone, roll a knowledge arcana check.
Please, please.
16.
2 for Erd.
And I'm afraid, so I'm going to use Paul Blank here. And that's going to be a 17 for me.
As Bella Lure slowly slides the twisted trinket of truth into place, you all see conduits of energy flying, and some of it singes Erd's hair as he's unaware and catches him off guard, but Garam and Graf are in position enough to channel the forces of energy, pushing it into the chest cavity of the Iron Defender, and the sacred trinket of truth starts lighting up with this bright orange glow, the orange glow of the rabble, bringing to life this Iron Defender. Its eyes glow a bright orange, and in between its ribs and tail bones made of metal and copper, an orange light diffuses into the empty salvage market. There, this Iron Defender comes to life, shudders a bit as the metal seems to find its way, and a paw moves forward. The head raises, looking at all of you, sniffing you deeply. This Iron Defender has been brought to life.
Fuck yeah.
Sniff us deeply, beast.
Bellalor speaks up. Well, now, this is very serious. The moment of birth is very critical in a goblin's life. We need to name this thing.
Awesome.
I always name my things Errol. The last one was Errol with 2 L's, so maybe this is Errol with 3 L's.
Errol.
That's an option.
Bellalor kind of slaps her.
Scrappy? Scrap?
I kind of love Scrappy.
Yeah, Scrappy, yeah. Nice job.
Well
nice
done, job, Andy.
All right, we got Scrappy then, huh?
Scrappy it is. Scrappy it is.
Scrappy boy, hey.
Bellalore Scrappy's coming to life. And now it's going to find its affinity with one of you three. Roll for control. Graf, roll with disadvantage. Garam, roll with advantage. Erd, roll normally.
Oh, please, Lord. This is all I want. The one who fucking killed it.
Even with disadvantage, 13.
Even with advantage, 7.
Sucks.
A normal dice, 2.
Why did I have disadvantage, by the way? I'm curious.
There's a number of reasons. So Scrappy looks over the rabble and its eyes flare up. And at first it looks at Garam and immediately feels this moment of opposition of just another dog? I don't think so. And it kicks up some dirt at Garam. And then it immediately takes its eyes and swings it towards Erd and sees his battle axe and its metal teeth growl and snarl. Erd raises his axe in a little bit of a defense, but Scrappy doesn't jump or pounce on him at all. And then, in a moment of ownership, Scrappy turns its metal head and lowers it down in front of Graf and raises a paw as it gives its hand to shake. And it looks up at its new master and its new owners, the rabble, and has this affinity towards Graf.
I shake his puppy hand. Welcome to the team, Scrappy.
Scrappy, meet the rabble.
This is some bullshit.
Bellalore speaks up. I think this is a perfect addition to the rabble. You guys have to go deep into the Morn Lands. Kalizart is some ways away. If you're any more than 3 weeks in the Morn Land is where things start to get sour. The effects will permeate your mind. Your body may not react normally to sleep or healing. We rarely send some of our best that long. Hopefully, Scrappy here will help you out.
I'd come along with you if I could,
Garunda speaks up, but we got a shop to run.
Quite. Are you sure we can't convince you to join us on this very important mission, Garunda? Or Bellalore, whichever one of you needs more of a vacation from the shop.
I think you all have become skillful enough. Your reputation here in Salvation has improved, and you all level up.
Yes!
This is Season 1 of Eberron Chronicles, Oracle of War, DM'd by Alex LeFerrier, played by Andrew Gallagher, Ian Selig, and John Selig, and is an Orange Eyes creative work. This concludes Book 1, The Nightland, by Sean Merwin. Written as a D&D Adventurers League campaign. Influence this game and story at EberronChronicles.com.
With Kalizart ahead, what will the rabble face as they go further into the Mornland than they've ever gone before?
One way or the other, we're going to find Callie.
And we're going to get an answer from her, whether she's, well, hopefully she's alive.
Silence is an answer, Erd.
Will they find Callie Allrun and the rest of the Grey Dogs?
There's got to be something we can do. I mean, 3 weeks in the Moorland, we're all going to be fucked. We got to find a way. Maybe we sell some shit.
Sell Scrappy?
Yeah. Hey, we got this weird thing. You want to buy it? 20 GP.
Will Scrappy be a loyal companion?
May I repeat, this is some bullshit.
Scrappy nudges Graf's side.
I give him like a couple of washers, bolts, and nuts. Just toss it in.
Do you think Scrappy remembers? Looking at the little bit of a wound that's left on him.
He remembers, but he forgives.
Sheriff fires a bolt of fire at the rope that hangs Ebenezer's body.
Where's Arulian right now?
Fred runs and enters Salvation Hotel.
Let's go see if Becca's arrows are ready.
We got the baker. They still like us.
Yeah, we can check all those guys before we go, yeah.
Sheriff drags Ebenezer's body into a dull gray sack.
And Erd has the same idea.
The long road to Kalizar looms ahead in the dark gray Mornland.
It seems oddly fitting to meet Callie and Kalizar again. Huh. Hopefully.
This is the first time where Graf's excited to go in the Mornland.
Kalizar, the city where it all began. You know, you lived your lives here for a long period of time.
Just be careful, guys. We don't know what we're going to find. We don't know who Callie's going to be.
Subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts. Email the show directly at speakingstone@eberronchronicles.com. We really do read every email from the fans. You are our dragon shards and keep this show powered.